Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents the Halo World Championship 2024 special, recorded live from Seattle, Washington, on October 6th, 2024. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. Welcome to HCS Seattle.
Woo! It's hype. We are having a great time.
Thank you very much. We're here at a remote kind of meeting place, a little bit further away, so it's a little bit more quiet. Happy to have several people to start off the live show from. We'll have plenty of other people come by, just have a chat about Halo in general. But I'll go ahead and start off with the person to my left, who's a Podtacular veteran.
Crack. Whip him up first.
Of course. And you're all the way isolated over there. You gotta kind of get mixed in with the group a little bit, man.
I mean, do I have to?
I mean, you don't have to. There'll be other people that come in.
Oh, yeah.
Join the crew, dude. Yeah. Join the crew, man. Yeah. Quick introductions. We'll go down the list, and then as people more come on by and we get more people wrapped in, we'll get them introduced. And we're just gonna talk Halo for an hour and a half. Just enjoy the time. So.
All right.
Starting with you.
I'm Bobby.
Please silence yourself.
I was just about to do that, yeah.
I'm Bobby. Half rebranded to Bitbat Bobbity B, but I kind of half abandoned it at the same time. I use it on occasion. I try to be the Batpat during game night, and that's about my extent of the influence I have.
Very good. Made a Podtacularian in the house.
Yeah.
All right. Wolf.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nishan Wolf here. Streamer, content creator for Halo Infinite, and other games as well, but Halo Infinite's definitely been the one that I've stuck with the most and have thoroughly enjoyed, and I'm happy to be here.
Thank you.
You're awesome.
Thank you.
I'm Austin, owner and creator of Jumperscape, as well as the library Halo Lorecast is probably what you'll most know me for. If you don't, then you probably know me more as, is swearing okay here? Because my username before had a swear word in it.
Let's try to keep it PG if we
got
can.
You.
But,
Halo crap posts.
Oh, you're that.
I was, of course you got that.
No. Were you crap takes or crap posts?
I was crap posts.
Okay.
Halo takes is a friend of mine.
Okay. Well, of course. That makes a lot of sense.
I'll be most known for those two things. But most importantly, now I'm known for being a Podtacular.
Well, pleasure to have you on.
It's fantastic to be here.
I'm Connor, and I'm with Jumperscape Media here. I'm a host on the podcast and other things as well.
Yeah.
And then I'm Cheyenne. I'm married to Austin, hence why we're wearing matching shirts.
Nice. We're going like that.
And I also am Odd Duck Crochet on Instagram and make little Halo plushies and other stuff inspired by video games.
I missed out on the plushies. I'm so sad.
Most definitely most known for the plush Huragok.
Yeah.
Those things sell like hotcakes.
Yeah, no kidding. And I missed it last time because I wasn't here last year.
And now you missed it this time because we didn't find you fast enough.
Yeah. You know, when you miss a year and then you like you just have so much to catch up on with friends, it's like, yeah, I'm going to miss all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's fine. You can just DM me and I'll just send you one. We're all friends. You were like to have fun here.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's been a great weekend so far. Lots of good activities going on, not with just the Halo World Championship, seeing great, awesome Halo gameplay, but we've got some vendor booths. We've got the community stage, which was incredible. It's the reason why we get to do this podcast on Sunday, because there's no community stage on Sunday. So it's like, well, we'll just make our own. I think you all have been here before. I believe you two. This is the first time you've been to a world.
Really?
So, yeah. What's your experience been like?
Well, beyond you needing to push me so much in order for me to get out of my own dang shell, because the last time I was actually social, well, not just social anxiety, but introversion and all those other things. Plus, the last time I was social in terms of a public setting was Outpost Philadelphia. And then before that, PAX East 2016. So I'm very inexperienced.
What do you think about the overall event? Like, you haven't been to a competitive event before. You've been to Outpost, like you said before, and like PAX. But what do you think of just like the competitive nature of things?
Well, I haven't paid enough attention to the competitive side as a scene as a whole, especially for the past few years, just because like as when one particular team was so dominant for so long, it like made me not interested because I'm just like, oh, this is just like the football sports where it's like just one team going crazy and okay, cool. But like when there's actual healthy competition and really anybody can win it rather than just casters saying that every single time, they're doing their jobs, but like the fan perception is the whole other side of it too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Wolf, you've been kind of in the competitive scene a little bit. You've participated in plenty of community stream type stuff. What's this event been like, kind of being surrounded by everyone that you look up to as a competitive player and all that stuff? What's it been like for you?
It's been pretty awesome. Last year was my first event. It's actually in North Texas. It was like my first major
my home state. Appreciate that.
That was awesome. That was awesome. It was great. Like, my life was super too. But no, the actual event was super. And then coming here, I was like, this year, if I can only make one event, I want to make sure it's Worlds, because I figured, you know, when I've been to a major, might as well check out Worlds and see how more grandiose it is.
Yeah.
And hasn't disappointed. There's been a lot to sort of take in. It's been honestly fantastic getting to walk around, meet everyone as well. Day one, I think I had came in with 100 stickers and I got 70 stickers given out on the first day. Just talking to everyone. I lost my voice by the end of the day because just like, all the conversations that were having.
The collector space is real.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. And I came home with that many more stickers. It was insane. Like stickers like particularly.
Yeah, it's like a trade show.
Yeah.
It really is. There's so many things. And like I brought my own set of things this year. First time I've done anything. But you brought stickers. You had the Virtual Plus this year.
We had
plus
a bunch of other things.
Stickers. And
Yeah. I just handed out the last of our bows at the entrance because I was like, okay, we still have a bunch of these. And there's totally going to be people walking in. Like, I want to rep my favorite team. But all I've got left is Complexity.
I wonder what that says about Complexity more than just your bows.
The bad thing, too, is that there were only two Complexity bows.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was rough for them this time.
I think it's safe to say the top three are easily FaZe, SSG, and Optic.
Those were gone completely. Yeah. I had people coming up asking for multiple, just because they were handing them off to their friends.
Yeah,
and they're like, "I need one now." Lucinity actually, she walked up and she was like, "I really need another SSG. I handed off mine to a fan at some place I was at last night. I need another one."
She was in the bathroom.
She was
apparently the bathroom is the best place to give bows.
I guess.
To other girls.
Yeah.
Is that code or like?
I don't know. Ashton, who's a part of our team, grabbed a bunch of the bows and was like, "Yeah, when I go to the bathroom, I'll just hand them out." And, like, she got rid of almost all of them that I gave her, and that's I was just crazy. Like, "What are you doing in the bathroom?"
That's wild. She's the one that's social in there. I don't know what goes on in there. It's just wild.
With a foreign lands for us.
Hey, we got our first walk-in.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
I got a few minutes before the game starts.
Yeah, take a seat. Welcome, dude.
Hello, everyone.
We're in the midst of stardom.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. No. Not at all. Not at all. All right, what you guys want to talk about?
We were just talking about kind of the event. This is their first time coming to a Worlds.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Talking about all the swag that we've been handing out and everything, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the caster perspective, how has this year been for you guys and all the teams that are here?
Oh, it's good. Yeah. I mean, you know, this is our, our
third Infinite.
Third
Infinite, yeah.
Yeah. So this is our third one here in this venue.
Yeah.
And it's always been a good venue, you know. This convention, I mean, this is where PAX West is, right? So there's always, there's a lot of infrastructure here, which makes, like, this city very, very good for not just esports, but, like, video game events.
Yep.
But that being said, it is definitely, like, cold.
Yes.
I was cold a few times because now California has changed me, which it's disappointing. You know, as a New Yorker, I used to pride myself on my ability to stand the cold, as you can tell, right? But out here, I've been a little chilly these last few days, you know? Honestly, it's been great. I love coming out to Seattle. I love this venue. I love hanging out with the community, seeing folks, and casting Halo, man.
Yeah. Thanks for dropping on by.
Yeah.
Are you casting the Elim finals?
Are we doing the elimination final? Yeah. That'll be exciting. Right now, Pure just took map one against FaZe.
Yeah, Pure's making a nice stay this
interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Massive comeback. They were down 3-1, and they just came back to win 4-3 in OT. So we'll see if an unsigned team can make top three at a world championship. Just like,
it'd be a first. I'm still waiting for, like, I think it was last year. One of the international teams made top six.
And we had Native as well. That was like small org, you know what I mean? Which was really cool. But this is like, these dudes are pure independent, you know? So it's pretty dope.
Yeah.
It's pretty sick.
It's cool to see that, like, because Optic for the longest time was like the team to beat. And we finally got some other ones in there. So yeah, it's cool to actually see that competition level finally, like, you see the back and forth of these teams.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously SSG, I think, is a little bit of the fan favorite. Although yesterday, if you saw the Shopify and Optic game yesterday, Optic, the green wall was there in full force. They're probably the loudest ones of the bunch.
They always are. And I say they as one of them.
So that's why you went with Virgil. That's why.
Yeah. It was great though. I mean, I do think it's like Optic versus FaZe a little bit tired by this point though. So I kind of hope that SSG comes up at some point.
Yeah,
and just takes that last spot. Just,
I think SSG's winning this.
You think so? Like, yeah. Full on.
Yeah, that's your pick.
Yeah, that's what I predicted. I predicted SSG FaZe in the finals, but I could see FaZe. If they beat Pure here, you know, that matchup against Optic or SSG is going to be insane. But they had opportunities to beat SSG in that series that they played. So it could have easily been a 3-1 for FaZe had, like, one or two plays went their way. Yeah. And that seems like, not to, like, be redundant or, like, reduce, like, the success of SSG, but it's more like, that's just Halo. You know, you get one or two things that kind of go your way.
It comes down to one or two plays in the game.
Pretty much, right? Yeah. So you just got to hope that those one or two plays go your way in that instance.
Well, you can recover.
Yeah, and SSG have, and you know, also too, like, what makes professional Halo and Halo esports so fun is because it's like, it's a dance, right? You're constantly moving. You look at other esports and, yeah, you know, you still have constant movement, right? Like League of Legends, for example, you know, you're always kind of like moving around, figuring out what's next play. Same thing with Overwatch, right? But there's something about when in shooters, you know, having a game that just goes like the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. From start to finish in the map. There's like no real, or there's slowdowns, but like the premise is that you got to do all these micro decisions in a macro environment, right? And there aren't a lot of games like it. So when you're able to like force the odds in your favor, that's some talent. So SSG have done that now 3 times this year. So I think
it's hard to bet against them.
Yeah, it really is.
They got a lot of stuff going for them this year. So maybe new crown.
Maybe. I mean, the way that I talked with folks before about this is that they're like, Optic figured out Halo Infinite the quickest, but they haven't been able to keep up with all the other teams, basically figuring out the newest tricks, the newest meta. Optic has been staying very stable, very flat, and they haven't been able to increase with the rest.
I think part of the reason for that is because the unfortunate GAs that I don't really agree with, but I think that those have caused a majority of the issues for Optic.
Yeah.
They're a sandbox team. You know, they thrive in the sandbox.
Yeah.
And when you take those weapons away, and honestly, I love Halo and I'll always love Halo, but it does make it a little boring.
Yeah.
You know, to just see bandit shots. Like, I personally really want us to go back to Battle Rifle next season. I think aesthetically, it just fits our brand as a esport way more. I understand that people had misgivings about like strength of the battle rifle, consistency of the shots, the hit scan, the auto aim, and I totally understand that. And maybe some tuning could help out with that. Mm-hmm. But I had the same problem in Halo 5. I didn't really vibe with the pistol, and as a result, it kind of made me fall off the game. I'm a real feels guy. If the game, if I don't feel the game, if the game doesn't like feel good for me, even if it is structurally good, I struggle with it. Because like I used to compete in Call of Duty, and when I migrated from COD 4 to MW2, I just couldn't do it because COD 4 was like a fundamentally different game from MW2.
Yep. Yeah.
And then everyone's rocking ACRs and UMPs and they're just like lasering you from across the map. It's like not the same game. Yeah. So that's why I really want to go back.
Yeah. Call of Duty, one of my favorites. I just want
to put that out. It's an excellent game. Excellent game. It's one of my favorite national championships of all time.
From the caster perspective, is there, because I think back to the MLG days, MLG was an independent org.
they came up with the settings. Like, Bungie made the games. Mm-hmm. They made the sandbox, and there was that. Like, I felt like that disconnect in a way made MLG MLG, made the social so much more engaging with fans. It's like, okay, there's this one way to play, but if you want to really see how the pros do it,
yeah,
here it is. And now with 343 managing the championship series as a whole,
yeah,
there's a little bit more dictation of, okay, this is how the studio thinks competitive should be played. Do you think that has hindered the competitive scene at all, or is there enough flexibility with the pro team being able to provide input into the cycle that there's still a little bit of flexibility there?
Well, I definitely think it hasn't hindered. I mean, we're here, right? And we've been doing this. HGS has now existed for 10 years,
yeah,
which, correct me if I'm wrong, is just as long as, you know, the old MLG days. It might be even longer.
About the same, 20, so I think it was 2002 to 2012 for MLG.
Yeah. So we're looking at, you know, practically the same thing. And yeah, we're going to get another year, more years,
yeah,
you know, hopefully as well. So I would say, like, in regards to that, no, I definitely think that, like, 343 getting more involved in the sport in itself is very healthy. That said, for, like, settings and stuff like that, I personally believe it should be an independent panel of pro players that, you know, with 343, not just the pro players, but it should be an independent panel, mostly leveraging the experience of guys like Clutch and
Walshy,
well,
Bravo,
just the guys who are, like, working at 343 that part of the pro team that understand. Yeah. I mean, look, I talk a lot of crap to Wes all the time, but he's very good at this game, and his the time he puts into it, and he's a KBM player, funny enough, now. But
really,
yeah, he's okay. Like, full KBM now. But
Wolf would appreciate that, I think.
Yeah. I'm a KBM guy, too.
Yeah. Oh, controller guy.
Oh, you're a controller?
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm a KBM guy.
I can't do it.
It's a skill. It is a skill. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, Halo, it is always going to be a controller game.
Yeah.
You know?
Mainly dominated, for sure.
Exactly. But I do like that we're seeing versatility. Diversity.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Let's go with the Woodham, for example. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Woodham, Scoob, like, so good.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of great KBM players. And there are going to be more as well. So I think, you know, to answer your question, that, I think, kind of illustrates why it was a great idea for 343 to get more involved, and for Microsoft to get more involved, because I don't think we would have had the growth and the progress that we would have had otherwise. Because, you know, a lot of people don't really, like, pay attention to stuff that happened back then, but, like, MLG was not making money, you know?
Yeah, they got
and MLG's whole business, not to disparage this guy, I'm not trying to, I'm just being honest. It's like, you know, I think the world of a lot of them, but they, like, making money in esports is very, very hard.
Yeah.
And back in the early 2000s, making money off of, like, a license that you have no rights to, and you're running thousands upon thousands of dollars worth of tournaments.
Yep.
Sponsorships. There is a reason why, you know, like, a lot of those institutions folded or started leaning further into working with Call of Duty, and getting bought by Activision, Blizzard, doing the Overwatch League, yeah, things like that. Why Riot takes their esports in house. You know, it's that. It's very hard to make money in this industry. So it being with the publisher is a blessing and a curse, but it is, for the most part, a blessing.
Someone pointed out to me yesterday, and I didn't even make this connection, but now that Microsoft has bought Activision, Microsoft has the MLG.
No one knows where those rights are.
Thing under it. So it's like,
yeah, I did see that just for a way.
Yeah, no one knows where those rights are. Basically, some lawyer has got a file in a laptop somewhere in the middle of New York that has the rights to MLG and Final Boss and Instinct and all that stuff. And no one, and because honestly, like, you ask any of them, I don't think anyone knows who actually owns the rights to it, like, definitively. And when I'm talking mostly, like, the team brands, because that was also, like, kind of weird,
yeah,
and wonky to begin with.
Didn't one of the orgs partner with printing some of those old brand shirts this event?
Well, yeah, I mean, Straight Ripon's partnered with SSG, and as well as they've used the Instinct branding. I think we also
saw someone with a Final Boss.
Final Boss is all over the place. Yeah. So
I gave away my OG Final Boss shirts.
Yeah.
When Magic was the team captain. Mm. And people were ecstatic this morning when I pulled that shirt out.
I mean, there are some there have been some people walking around. Do you see the guy with the Walshy Canetto, like Walshy's My Homeboy shirt?
No.
He's like, the dude got like the Walshy Canetto, like first drop. When he did his clothing company all those years ago.
Yeah.
He like walked around and just had all of us sign it. And like people have just been rolling in with history. And I think like that, really think about this for a minute, right? Like, I'm gonna get philosophical.
How?
I'm going to switch to the
Zoom.
How
incredible is it that we are in a time where Halo has had a 2-decade history of its sports existence?
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that not a lot of esports can say they have. StarCraft, as much as I love it, till this is not the most relevant esport anymore. Right. And unfortunately, doesn't really get much traction. League of Legends has been around for, I would say now at this point, almost 15 years. So that's impressive. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Dota, I would say around 10, CS as well. Right. But for a console esport that honestly had its heyday in the early 2000s, literally when we were calling everything extreme, we were spiking our hair and there was neon everywhere.
I spiked my hair, yeah.
And I wish I had hair to spike. But we have a legacy. We have a history that is like not common in esports right now. And I don't think our community quite understands or can like reconcile with that because there's so much history in our sport.
All those banners that you walk under as you come into the event.
Yeah.
All the way back to 2003.
Very few esports have that legacy, you know? Like in Valorant, we just started to get those stories, those narratives that like, oh, this happened 3 years ago. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. In Halo, I could talk about Lethal's incredible run back in H3.
Yeah.
In H3. That was 2009?
Yeah. Yeah.
Eight or nine. That was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So... I think it really is incredible.
That's a good perspective.
Yeah, but you know what though? We should all be so blessed to have the ability to be able to have seen this thing that we have loved for so long. I mean, think about how long freaking Top Tackler's been going on for, man.
It'll be 20 years next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
it's incredible.
Yeah, you know, like a lot to be proud of, man. And I think like stuff like that is really fucking cool. Like, oh, sorry. I generally think stuff like that.
We get one.
Just PG-13.
Yeah. No, but real talk, man. Like, it's incredible how far our sport has come. I mean, we really just had a legend walk by us in Gilkey. A little legend just walked by us here. We have legends playing on the stage right now. We have seen the first EU player to break through the mainstream and make it in a manner that we hadn't seen before. KBM, Latin America popping off this event. I mean, it is a really freaking cool time to be a fan of Halo Esports.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
You dropping some wisdom.
Sometimes I got to take a step back. I've been doing this since 2011 or 2010. I don't remember. I got married in 2008. It was 2 years later. So, yeah. But
I know at least you were doing it during the...
Yeah, it was 2011. 2011. It was MLG Providence National Championship for Black Ops 1.
Okay.
And I didn't appreciate it then. You know? I was like traveling around, going to all these events, working all these gigs. You see me?
Yeah.
Drained.
Yeah.
Show. And I don't really take a moment to like sit back and like smell the roses and like appreciate like what it is that we're doing here.
You got to co-commentate with The Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I never saw that one.
It's a TV show on Titan Games. You could check it out on Peacock.
Okay. That's funny.
If you like WWE, probably have a Peacock subscription. So
it's on
there.
We've got it.
But yeah. So, you know.
I mean, I'm not biased, but he's definitely my favorite caster ever.
Thank you.
I mean, that's the
thing. But you're not biased.
No bias. I do appreciate it.
The way that I see it, just because I don't do a whole lot, I don't interact with these sports as much as I do the rest of the community, I listen for the recognizable voices. You're the most recognizable one to me.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. It's crazy because like people think that I was in Halo from like the H1 days, and I wasn't. I was involved. So I loved Halo since I was a kid. It was the first game me and my brother bonded over. We played the campaign, start to finish. sound cartographer, so it was hard. And I was always a competitive person, so I naturally gravitated to it. But man, like, what makes Halo great is that you can have like just a whole bunch of different communities come together, still appreciate it. And there was a point in time, I think, where like forgers and campaign creators and like, you know, folks who just appreciate more lore, right? Your hidden experience of the world and whatnot. I don't think that they would have resonated so much with esports, but I think that there became this understanding across the entire community where it's like, it's all cyclical.
Yeah.
You know, it all feeds into one another. And to be quite frank, Halo esports is the reason why people continue to still talk about Halo. So you need to have that. And then when Halo esports thrives, that's when our forgers thrive. That's when our community creators thrive. It's when our podcasters thrive. It's when everyone finds success. It's when we all, you know, kind of work in tandem to make the game that we love as popular as possible without, like, beating ourselves up.
And I feel like Outpost, I mean, granted, I think a lot of us wish it would come back, but I believe that was from just kind of how I've observed the community, kind of that turning point for a lot of people to say, there's all these worlds within the Halo community, and Outpost was the place where everything just collided.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot more, like kind of what you were talking about, like back in the Halo 3, Halo 4 days, you had your forgers and custom gamers. You had your lore people that was playing campaign in the books all the time. You had the 405th. And there was a little bit of overlap with that with Halo Fest. There's a little bit of overlap with that with the game launches and whatnot. But I feel like Outpost was kind of that one catalyst where, and I think 343 kind of saw the writing on the wall. And that's kind of how we've ended up with some of the stuff that we have at Worlds, where it's not just the stage. It's not just the vendors. But we have the community stage. We have 405th and Full Force. We have a Halo Collector booth. We have several other partner booths. And ideally that will expand or kind of
grow. That was, you know, thanks to folks like Tashi and Elizabeth over at 343, who early on believed in the esports vision. Because my one claim to fame in Halo is that I was there the first day the HCS was formed. Like literally, I was like in a meeting with Twitch because I was part of Twitch at the time, and we had partnered with 343. We had that's right, I got you a partnership, right? We had partnered with 343 and ESL, and it was all, you know, really to build up Halo Esports because MLG had, through MLG TV, scooped up the Activision deal. And then I remember going to a few of the managers at Twitch and being like, hey, you know, like, there are other games that like pop off and we can invest into, and I think it could really benefit us. And then they were like, all right, well, go ahead and get us, you know, get us some data. So got Gears of War and I got Halo, and we ended up launching both of those programs initially. So the Gears Pro Circuit was one of the like first programs that I had worked on early. I didn't do much. And then I came in as a caster later on, and then HCS, I like, got the email with the logo, you know. I saw it for the first time. It's like, this is the Halo Championship Series. I remember being like, I was too close to the LCS, you know, like all that stuff. But now look at us. We're a decade into the legacy of the HCS. That is wild.
That is crazy. It's an interesting point. It's like longer than MLG now.
Yeah. And it will last longer than MLG.
Yep.
You know? And there are kids now who have been raised with HCS. And now they can look at MLG as like the way that I would go and look at, I don't know, Mid-South Pro Wrestling. You know what I mean? Where I would go and watch like old videos of like Harley Race versus, you know, Ric Flair in the promotions, well, right?
Names.
Yeah. Like I'd watch those old, but that's kind of what we're dealing with.
Yeah, that's, you know? That's a good point. Like,
and just modernized.
Yeah. And now it was such a different production and the whole tightness of it.
Yeah.
To have it just wide open lens.
Go back and watch those first MLG H2 events.
Oh yeah.
And the graphics. And
they're wild. Yeah. There's something nostalgic about it.
It's great, dude.
The energy was insane.
It's awesome.
They really were so excited.
I get in a venue like this, it's hard to do it, but I miss the bleachers.
Yeah.
I really miss the bleachers. I know MLG was a smaller scene back then, and it was everyone kind of piled in. You had, like, you just felt the intensity of everybody and how everything was staged.
Yeah.
And I get, like, things that we've done a little bit more personally now, but I kind of miss that kind of Colosseum feel of these are the titans of Halo going against each other.
Dude, the ceiling's high enough.
I mean, let's
do it. We were just talking about this in SLC, me and Gaskin, because we were like, man, it'd be really cool to go back to the Colosseum, you know, to like the arena look. That was definitely a really, really innovative thing from MLG that I think a lot of people like really recognized had a like immense value as far as like feel, atmosphere, telling a story, making people feel invested, right? Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely that era of broadcasting, it feels like, is that kind of was the style.
Yeah. It was very sporty, you know, like presenting it in that manner. I believe that pro wrestling and esports have a lot in common, right? And more so than sports and esports.
Interesting.
Yes.
That makes sense. I've never thought about it that way, but actually.
Yeah, because there's rivalries, there's interactions between different partnerships and people coming and going and tag teams ish. Deals happening.
You have to tell stories.
Yeah.
Right. You have to tell stories and you need personalities to do so. And in pro sports, you have a much different atmosphere and environment to facilitate that. Whereas in esports, it's more of that raw kind of in like very accessible to the audience member, very accessible to the fan. Right. Whereas like in sports, it's not like that. You know, in sports, you know, you go to a stadium, you watch the game, you get out, you're done. Right. In pro wrestling, though, you go to a pay-per-view, you watch your favorite wrestlers, you might get outside and you might see them walking around and you might be able to talk to them or something to that matter. It's like that community aspect is quite similar. But then I think from the presentational aspect, to lean too much into like sports is a mistake because, you know, there are a generation of gamers that have been watching esports that just have no connection to sports whatsoever. So it's really like you're speaking another language to them. So you might as well just present competition in an entertaining way rather than presenting competition in, you know, a sporting way, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I hadn't even thought about that. I mean, I'm not much into sports. I played sports growing up, but I'm not into the sports.
Yeah, it's just always been the holy grail of like esports, like the thing that they want to reach. It's like, we want to do the inside of the NBA. Oh, we want to be the ESPN of esports. And it's like, no, this shit's lame. Sorry. That's just lame. That's not what our audience cares about.
Yeah.
You know?
They care about the stories. They care about the players. They care about the journey of actually getting there.
Exactly.
It's not just game to game. It's just kind of like people have their orgs. People have their players. Mm-hmm. People have they want to see how Halo is just played at the best level.
Yeah. And we need our players to lean in a little bit more to it too, which I think is a kind of a problem. Everyone
need more Lucids. The people's player.
Well, the thing is that all of our pros are so good that they come into these events assuming that they should win, and then when they don't win, they become a bunch of sad boys. And then when they come into these events with that mindset, they keep that stoic kind of I'm gonna do it all right here, and I'm gonna win the game. You know? shout out to the fans, you know, stuff like that. You need people to pop off. You need emotion. Clutch and I responded. Wes, we were talking about that yesterday. It was like, I just want to see people get across the end, just yell. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I want that, man.
Great.
Yeah.
A bit more personality coming across, maybe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It'd be sick. But.
Yeah. Big Team Battle Bonanza. I know I've asked you this plenty of times. Like, I will always ask you of it.
So there are a couple issues. Firstly, Dave's afraid. Right. I mean, while she's scared, you know, it's a shame, right? Yeah. Guy who's won national championships, just afraid of a lowly commentator. What a shame. Also, another logistical nightmare. If I lose the belt, my wife might divorce me. So I have to find a way to maintain that belt in my home. I have proposed multiple ideas to Tashi. He has told me that the idea is that the belt will be the only belt and that there will be no replica, but I felt cheated by such because I was the inaugural. So I should be given a replica, you know? Yeah. So I can maintain my marriage. but yeah, it's we'll hopefully we get to do it. I'll probably if like the schedules align and we can get things going for like, you know, Riot and 343 next season, I could like get the schedules more in shape. I'll try and push for another one.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so fun. I feel like people love it too. Like the whole community just sits behind it. And
awesome. I was worried because I know I talk a lot and it's part of the job. And I know I'm like, sometimes, you know, personality, humor, it's subjective, right?
It's almost like you're talented at it or something.
No,
I appreciate you,
baby. No, but like, I always get worried that like people might just be like, why do we care about this? But then
I feel like it gets such a good fan reception though.
Then you think back to what I was talking about before, right? Creating entertainment. And that's what it's supposed to be. Because yes, it's me and Walshy, and we can riff off one another, but it's the fact that you got Zygon on that stage and you get Ogre 2 or Adam Cole can show up. Or you know what I mean? Like it's stuff like that that I think is really, really clever. That I want to lean more into. And, you know, hopefully next season when we get together, all the talent and 343 and, you know, whoever ends up being the production company, which I'm assuming will be Esports Engine.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get together and talk about how to make the show more dynamic and just even more fun than it already is. So,
one thing I liked about the VTB Bonanza is just the whole aspect that you're bringing like a more social component to the stage for, you know, a brief period. And it's, like shines a light on that.
And then also Big T Battle is like kind of legit.
Oh yeah.
And like
sweaty.
It would be insane. Like some of my favorite
called Brad.
Well, yeah, any of the main BTBers out there.
One of those shoes.
Some of my favorite. Like you can mesh against them. Like, yeah, come on. It's the
worst. My favorite memories was major clan matches in H2. You know, playing.
I wish that was something that would be brought back.
Yeah, like ATA Waterworks, you know what I mean? Like, that thing was just great. That was fun. Yeah. I love that stuff. Yeah. So, I want more of that. And I think that, I agree. I think that adds to the
lot of fun. Because I can just imagine the stockpile matches. Trying to get those power cells, people throwing crap everywhere, trying to get that all locked in. I can already feel the energy that would happen from the audience seeing the power cells get so close and then ripped away.
Yeah.
That would be sick.
Yeah. And I mean, look, you can never do Big Team Battle esports to scale. That's just not very doable. Yeah. But I tell you what, though, I kind of want to do a tournament. I think that'd be fun. Just like an online tournament.
Yeah.
And we're just like, all right, guys, we're going to do a Big Team Battle, you know, invitational, you know.
There's any orgs out there that are listening that, you know, what your next one needs to be.
You know, maybe I might just do it. I don't know. It sounds fun because I love BTB, and I will 100% play in it because got to defend my time.
Get a champion.
Oh, yeah.
Or I'll just find a storyline reason not to cast it. Yeah, I'll just have, like, a manager or something. I'll have Strongside be my manager. See what happens.
Yeah, the last Forge Hub forging contest for Halo 5, we actually partnered with them to do a Fiesta style match. So we actually sponsored the Fiesta side of the tournament. So maybe we work with the Falcons or Forge Hub to do a BTB type of a tournament.
Yeah.
Bring, I guess, 16 teams would probably be good with that. Like 16 times 12 people.
I would never want to do it in LAN, but I would definitely want to do it online. That would be fun.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. But, 1-1 in the score, by the way, just so in case you guys want to know from pure and face. It's gonna be intense. Yeah. It's I think what makes all those things really fun too is that it kind of, you know, to the point that you guys were saying, which is like it incorporates different elements of the Halo community in a manner that hadn't traditionally been present before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we would do like these events and it would always be like, you know, 4v4, esports, competitive, the best of the best. But I think the turning point for us was South by Southwest, the South by Southwest Invitational that we did.
Oh, yeah.
Because we knew it was a 8-team invitational, small tournament, small venue, very intimate crowd as well. So, and the people who were there were like diehards. They were like diehard fans. So we could do whatever we want. And then when we did that first Big Team Battle Bonanza, and me and Wes were like cutting the cake together, it was like a really funny moment. I think that was when
all of us went, an MLG moment.
Yeah. And that's when we went to Tashi, and all of us were like, dude, we got to do this again. Mm-hmm. And then Tashi's like, I know.
Yeah.
I want to get a belt. And then we got a belt, and then it just kept going. It kept getting more and more ridiculous.
It's amazing.
Fox in the chat says Headhunter would be an interesting side spectacle.
I actually agree with that. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Right.
anymore.
People do like seeing toss-ups away from things like Slayer and all that. I think that most people really latch onto those objective modes a whole lot more. And even the players, there's one guy I hang out with a whole lot, a guy named by the name of Milkshake. Mm-hmm. He tells me all the time, talking about how it's like, oh, the objective modes just feel more interesting to play. They take a whole lot more. I love Slayer. I'm a good Slayer on my team, but I'd rather be the Slayer while my guy goes and holds the flag.
Yeah.
Well, I think you see two sides of talent when it comes to Slayer and objective, because Slayer is just like raw skill and movement and map control.
Yep.
And like pros have that down to a T. And kind of going back to what you're saying, you have those one or two plays that really tip the scales for a Slayer match. An objective has a little bit more leniency, that's a little more fluid, and the dynamic and objective has almost a character to play in that specific game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What I love about Halo more than anything is that every game mode is an objective game mode, contrary to what people might think. Slayer, you have many objectives, right? Yeah. You always have many objectives you have to accomplish, whether it's like, I got to get in and, you know, get the rockets. I got to get, like, if you're playing on pit and you want to have control of the map, what do? You got to get on top of the tower and you have to, you know, hold that. And those are like micro mini objectives that like happen throughout the game. But you're so right in that the objective and the objective gameplay, especially the flag, the ball, like having a character in of itself, right? Mm-hmm. And the things that you have to keep in mind is like you're playing those objectives. It's what makes Halo such a uniquely fun game.
Yeah.
And there really isn't there is nothing like it on the market. Plain and simple, right? It is a one-of-a-kind type of game, while at the same time feeling infinitely familiar because literally every single FPS game that is, no pun intended, but every single modern FPS literally was inspired by Halo and what it accomplished on console. So, you know, it is the benefit, I think, of the game that you can really do some cool stuff with it, right? And it's why we've had so many fun game modes, like, drawing on the H4 one.
Dominion?
Was it Dominion?
Or Ricochet.
No, well, I actually did like Ricochet. No, it was the bomb one. I forget the name of it.
Extraction.
Extraction. Yeah. Like Extraction. I
can imagine the thing is, what's the name of it?
And what are we doing here?
The only thing with a fancy animation in there.
But I really love that we're still innovating with game modes as well, right? Even in Infinite, how they, I think, made the best version of Oddball ever.
Yeah.
In this game.
Yeah.
And King of the Hill too, I think.
I think
both of those are their best.
Yeah, with it being like holding it for a specific amount of time.
You have the 4 minutes, like, and then it's like the timer's paused while someone's in the hill. So there's really that time
tension in that last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, that happened yesterday during either the Pure Cloud 9 or SSG and Phase, where it's like whichever one had the reset. I think it was SSG and Phase.
Yeah.
Where one team had two hills and they just just played guard to prevent getting in the hill.
There's
a new dynamic to it, but I feel like that's like we've had so much history with competitive Halo that it really has driven to, I think, probably some of the best of the modes that we've seen so far.
Yeah, like Strongholds in H5, and that was so good that they just changed nothing and just brought it out.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Like that game mode, I think, added so much to our repertoire of like just fun titles, because people like domination game modes, but domination game modes suck. Like domination as a game mode is not very good. But when you take the concept of plots and you place them around the map and then you manipulate like how those plots, you know, activate depending on who controls what, that is fascinating.
Map rotation.
Exactly. And it all just plays right back into what makes Halo Halo and why not a lot of games can do what, like Call of Duty can never do these types of game modes because of the TTK, map design, frequency of spawning.
Like, sandbox.
Exactly.
Weapons,
you just can't really do it. But that is also the reason why Hardpoint is so good though in Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm. It's very like it's built
perfectly. Yeah, and they took King of the Hill in Infinite and kind of made it like Hardpoint, but Call of Duty's Hardpoint is like very different. But it's just cool to see them just playing with ideas. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really cool to see what whatever new mode comes next.
Yeah,
because there's going to be something. There's got to be some ideas people have out there.
Or we just bring back Ricochet.
I cannot stress this enough that it was my favorite mode. I played it all the time.
Yeah.
And then it was just gone.
Yeah.
And I was so upset for so long, and I'm still upset.
It bums me out that like H4 gets like a lot of shit, but it did have some cool ideas in it.
It really
did. And it did have some cool maps in it that I did enjoy.
Aside from the COD influence, I think if you take H4 as kind of its own product, it innovated a lot on Halo 4.
It really did.
Like Regicide, I think it was a great expansion.
That was a great cycle.
There's like a lot to be said about how these games have just continued to innovate over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But I do just like the fact that we are, you know, we have things that work. And then we can lean on those things, and when we want to cycle it out, we can, or we incorporate new ones. Like now, I like that we have Strongholds, King of the Hill, Oddball, CTF, and Slayer as our game modes. I like that we have so much variety in our series layouts. You know, it does create a little bit of, you know, randomness at times, but it's really cool for sure.
Well, I think that was one of the because H5 didn't have Forge launching, and it was just. So, what was it, CTF, Oddball, and Slayer? I think that was like the three main.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I remember people talking about that. It just kind of got boring. So by the time Oddball finally came in, it was kind of that fresh. Okay, we finally got something new to add into the rotation, not just a thing.
What was the situation with Breakout though? Because I remember that being a huge thing, and it didn't latch.
Because so the problem with that mode in a competitive environment is that it also functioned differently from the core game that they were already playing. So if you have a best of five series and then you have a Slayer, an objective, Breakout, objective, Slayer, you're going from like shield and respawn game types to out of nowhere a not SWAT, but kind of SWAT, you know, like 2-3 shot kill type of game.
Hardcore maybe.
And then you go back to the normal and it just didn't like make sense, you know? Yeah. And that was the thing we just kind of kept telling them. We're like, don't put it in a series. Like, if you want to make Breakout a thing, do side tournaments. Like let people get good at Breakout and then build a mode from there.
Let it be its thing.
Yeah, and then they tried to do... And then they tried to do... What was the name of the one that they did on the actual maps? Arena Breakout? Or where it was on the...
That was originally with... Or that... What eventually came into matchmaking was Arena Breakout.
That was the one where they were on the maps, like the actual maps.
Like not just in those holographic ones?
Yeah, not just the Forge holographic ones.
No, he's talking about like where they actually brought the Breakout mode into the regular multiplayer maps.
That was the attempt to, you know, kind of normalize the game mode with comp. But again, same problem. You know, like it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like they found a good middle ground, at least from a matchmaking perspective, where they, like, okay, you're out, and if a teammate can revive you, great. If not, there's the timer, and then once you deplete that. So, like, they came to a good middle ground. It was just, I think to your point, it wasn't a good fit with how the rest of the game modes
were. Yeah, it was just a developer that was ambitious and wanted to try something new without...
Which is...
The problem boils down to, it's like... I have these conversations with like community members and stuff who are like chronically online and don't understand that, you know, just people just make dumb decisions sometimes and then it doesn't work and then you just, you know, move on.
You don't know until you try, right? That's part of the game.
But when everything is like life and death, you know, it's like,
yeah, especially online.
Exactly. Right? Like the internet's a real place for people.
Yeah. Gosh, I've said this so many times. And when people are like, Halo was dead and all that, I'm like, guys, you don't know what franchise death looks like. Do you think this is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a Shadowrun player. So, you know, our game doesn't exist anymore. The company that made Shadowrun doesn't exist anymore. Like, I cannot play the game on official servers. I have to go to a Discord and play with other people who competed in MLG Shadowrun back in the day.
See, that's dead.
So that's a dead game.
Yeah,
you know?
Game's dead when there's $1 million world tournaments going on.
That is the part that really bugs me because, you know, when we... first launched HCS and we were doing MCC and, you know, not to sugarcoat it, sucked in some aspects.
It
was great in that we were playing good Halo because I still think MCC is like one of the best Halo games ever made if they had actually made more maps.
Yeah.
But the the actual like sport itself was actually doing well. We were averaging for a game that was largely dead, and that and dead as far as like competitive goes prior to the launch of ACS.
But there was that lull.
There was a massive lull, right?
AGL.
Exactly. So you had your MLG to your UMG AGL days and your Iron Gaming and stuff like that, right? Then in comes HCS.
Yep. With ESL. Yep.
Exactly. And in those days, fans were looking at what was happening, and they're like, in the rest of esports, and they're like, well, we're Halo, and we're like the first esport that everyone knew about in America, and we should very important to note in America.
Yes.
We, you know, we should be number one. We should have 100,000 viewers. We should, you know, like we should be back. We're not back. Oh my God, right? And it's like I get it, but firstly, we don't know what the actual numbers were for MLG back in the day, so we actually don't know like how crazy it was, right?
Yeah.
It should, you know,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
All those vibes.
It was successful,
yeah.
And they did make a lot of money, but it was a different time back then. And we are competing for so much attention now. We're not just competing with other esports. It's Sunday. We're competing with football. You know, we're competing with wrestling. We're competing with baseball. We're competing with a lot of stuff. So if you reflect back, and this kind of plays into the Halo 3 launch when everyone's like, there was a million people online and they never achieved that ever again.
Gosh.
What games were out when Halo 3 dropped?
Mm. Yeah, I've made that point of game saturation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just games. That's so many options.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, it's
all media.
Yeah. We just have an abundance of options. Yeah. As much as I despise Vince McMahon, he had a very famous quote, which was, I'm not in the pro wrestling business. I'm in the entertainment business. Mm. And he is 100% correct. Granted, yes, he is also in the pro wrestling business, as AEW made him realize later on. But he wasn't wrong in that he is also in the entertainment business, mm-hmm. right? And you got to make a compelling product that people want to watch.
Yeah.
You know, and otherwise, the hell you're doing it for. MLG made a compelling product people wanted to watch, but there was also not a lot of other options.
Yeah.
It
was fresh. It was something new and exciting
that exactly.
people could latch onto from their growing hobbies because they're like, oh, I like this. Oh, wait, there's a big focus on it. Ooh.
Yeah. And if I love it, you know, and it means a lot to me. Like, I get the anger from community members who are like, oh, it's not as big as it once was. But
fact that it's still here and that we're having these events and able to, like, you can come meet your icons.
The only way, like, tell that to the StarCraft community, right? Tell that to the Warcraft community, you know? Tell that to the Street Fighter Third Strike players. Tell that to, I don't know, freaking CS 1.6 players. You know, tell that to people who played all these different games and now their game is dead and they just kind of had to accept what was moving forward or just move on with their life.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where we are right now. And like, you know, a lot of those people either accepted or just moved on. But I would wager that a lot more people accepted it than moved on. And it is reflective in the fact that our sport can continue to exist all this time.
Yeah. The fact that we're still going, the fact that we're pulling tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands for worlds.
Yeah.
Year wise.
Yeah. And you know, the game is older now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking
three years
right?
Yeah.
It's older. It's not in the media cycle as much anymore, unless it's negative coverage. So it doesn't, I mean, that's just all live service games that have an extended shelf life, right? Mm-hmm. There's only so many updates they could push out, you know, that can appeal to people. So really, you're just kind of just playing what you have.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. That's live service.
It is. And people will complain about it till kingdom come, but it's like at the same time, this is what the industry is saying works.
Yeah. And I don't think that live service is, I hate live service games to be completely fair, but I do think that like of all the live service games, I will give 343 a little bit of credit because they have like H5, for example, and the that whole Warzone, the coin system, the Spartan coin system, it was actually really good.
Yeah.
Rec packs, like, actually were good.
That was probably one of the best, like, microtransaction type systems, I think.
Because you got everything eventually.
Yeah, like, and actually, probably my favorite part, just to incorporate into the whole esports concept, Microsoft Store tournaments.
Mm-hmm. You could go to your local Microsoft store and they had these tournaments, what, it was like every month or so?
Yeah.
And you could just win platinum packs that were only exclusive to people who won. I'm a proud winner.
Yeah, man. And those were, that was like such a great, I know, right? That's such a show. And that was such a great thing. And so great that Activision and Blizzard stole it for Overwatch. Just without the Warzone aspect. Right. And made it worse. But they actually like, and got sued for it in Germany.
Oh.
Notice Halo didn't get sued in Europe.
Did you blame Battlefront 2 a little bit as well?
No. Battlefront 2 actually was more of a really, really bad business decision from an EA executive who thought if you pay Walt Darth Vader, they will come. And
it wasn't a bad guess, but probably not the best.
And you want to talk about dead games. How's Battlefront 2 esports doing right now?
Oh, gosh. Could you even imagine?
Yeah. I mean, it would be pretty dope. But, running around as freaking Obi-Wan Kenobi, just chopping him up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know? I can imagine the commentary there.
Some Star Wars.
Just, he's chopping him down like the younglings. It's crazy. But, yeah. I just think...
like the Miwoks.
Yeah. So. He hates them. But no, real talk. It's like there is a lot to be said about how live service games have negatively impacted our industry. Yeah. But there are also some success stories. But that doesn't mean it's a net positive. You know, I'm just glad that Halo, at the very least, isn't like that egregious. Mm. You know, I do believe that the prices are a little crazy. I say this as a person who hosts the VCT for Riot, and their $100 skins are definitely wild, but it's also like you don't have to buy it.
Yep.
You know, so and
there's so many things that still you can get benefit out of.
Yeah.
The games, I mean, new multiplayer, new lore,
and in Halo you gain tons of armor permutations, and now they made it even easier to do it, so it's like,
yep,
you know, you gotta give them the flowers, right? Yeah. People don't do that.
Yeah. I feel like people are so keen on hating on something if it's not exactly the way they want. It's like, well, first of all, it's 343's game.
Yeah.
You just get to enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, you're not obligated to stay with it and keep going. Like, you don't have to torment yourself. That's not
you can't let perfect be the enemy of good.
Yeah, there's so much saturation. There's other options if you really actually want other options.
More importantly, if you really are one of those veterans, MCC's right there.
Yeah.
Like, it's still functioning for you.
Not just functioning. It's very good.
It's really
good. Like, I play MCC at least once a week, so...
And the search is still fast.
Exactly.
Everyone's playing.
Yeah.
MCC, as it exists today, is not the MCC that came out.
No, it's so good.
10 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, there's still tournaments every now and then, just small ones. But
there are two here.
Yeah, exactly.
The Halo 2 and the Halo 3.
Exactly.
Played on MCC, yeah.
Yeah.
And it came to PC, of all things. Like, that completely opened up the aperture. Like... People on PC have been arguing for a new Halo game since Halo 3 because we had to Halo 2 Vista.
Yeah. And basically the whole topic of the whole concept of dead game is like, guys, we just got new Dick Site content that's got revealed yesterday.
Yeah.
We're going to be playing the Halo 2 E3 demo soon.
Yeah. Like, like, that's just nuts. You know, like, that's really cool. Yeah,
that game's been in development, active development for over 10 years. And Halo's dead. Like, really?
Yeah. It's wild, man. It's far from it, but it's awesome. And I'm glad to see, Halo, you know, continuing to do well. It's a competitive market, right? We're going up against a lot of great titles. Mm-hmm. But what helps us is what I was talking about before when I first sat down and sweat my ass off, which was, you know, we have legacy, we have history, we have, weirdly enough, culture, we have a community, right? It's not perfect. It's not perfect. But I would wager that when you come to a Halo event and you see the sheer amount of people who attend these from all walks of life, all around the world, it's amazing. It really is. So that a video game can bring people together like this. But it wasn't just any video game.
Yeah.
You know? It was Halo. It's a cultural touchstone.
And I feel like, and I've touted this, like, I think forever since, and that this is one of the reasons why I picked up the podcast, but I think Halo has the most unique
community out of all gaming spaces.
Yeah.
My argument for that is you have, and I've categorized personally the Halo community into 9 separate groups, and you have crossovers between them, and there's so many ways to get involved with the Halo community.
Yeah.
That, like, there shouldn't be any reason, unless for some reason you just have a vendetta of, it's not old Halo, I want to remain old Halo, go play old Halo.
But then guess what? You can go play old Halo.
Exactly, yep. Yeah.
You can find your niche.
Yeah.
There are so many niches, there are so many communities out there. I mean, shout out to Women at Halo, their presence here this year. Shout out to the 405th, Halo Collector, competitive scene, lore people, the people that make fan games and mods, podcasters, YouTubers, streamers, content creators. Like, there are so many different unique ways to get involved with Halo, and I think that's what makes Halo, in addition to just the games being developed in the rich world that we have, such a unique community experience to be involved with. Like, if you're looking for a place to get involved with, and you love the franchise, you love the stories, you love the sci-fi world, there's a place for you in the Halo community.
Yeah, there is.
People are willing to help you out to find those people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if someone came up to you and asked, well, who's the person I can go to for lore? Hidden Xperia.
Yeah.
If there's someone that's like, who's a good streamer? I could say, I'm Mission Wolf. He's an streamer in Infinite set of things, but he's got a great following.
I want to watch some educational, or I want to see some top players. Lucid.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Like, you know, like.
And he coaches people on his YouTube.
Exactly. Stuff. Yeah. Right? That's actually going to be a big push for me for next year, is I want to do more. I love this game so much, but it does kind of suck that I can't do as much as I want to, because
you're always welcome to come on the podcast. We got free Thursday night.
thank you for the invite. Yeah, no, of course. But I just think that we are at a really unique point, because I look at a lot of other esports right now, and I'm seeing the stuff that's working across the different spaces, and we're kind of behind right now. But we're going to get there. I think we're behind in that what we need is we need more podcast content like this, but we also need more focused competitive content, right? We need more things that are like...
HCS Pro Talk, shout out to them.
Yeah, HCS Pro Talk is a great one. But also I think, like, for us casters, you know, if you look at Valorant, Overwatch, League of Legends, Dota... You see, like, a lot of the talent are the ones pushing content, stories, and stuff. And
gotcha.
For a lot of us, you know, a lot of us is older. Like, look, Real Talk ain't going to get Walshy to do a podcast every week. I might be able to get him in for a day, but not every week.
So, Jack said we need more cowbell.
We definitely need more cowbell. But what we do need is... Or what I would like to see, and what I want to kind of help kind of foster, is just continuing to tell more stories. Kind of like what Bravo and Onset have been doing lately. You know,
kind of like pre-show type of.
Yeah. You know, the narrative, I think, is they just hit 1,000 subs. If you're listening, please go check out the narrative. You can find out a lot about competitive Halo on there. And I think Onset and Bravo did an excellent job of building like an actual show. Because when you watch an episode of the narrative, it doesn't feel like it's just a podcast. No, it feels like a show. Like, they have like interstitials and breaks, and they have like all their graphics, and they have all this stuff, and it's great. It's like they produce show, right? That takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of time to do. So, you know, if Halo community can support initiatives like that, I think it can continue to embolden a lot of other individuals in the community to take those steps, right? And granted, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
Theoretically. So, you know, maybe that's just what we all got to do, but we're all old. You know, we're just trying to figure it out.
We got new blood, like Wolf and Jumper Escape got newer to the scene to the mantles and do stuff with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of us, unfortunately, we got to go.
Yeah.
But very much enjoyed this. Very much enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, thanks.
By the way, if you want to chat at some point, we're going to talk with Why Not. At some point,
because
we're trying to do something with him.
Yeah.
So if I could poke him about poking you, that'd be awesome.
Sure. Yeah. No, tell him. He'll let me know. For sure.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Of course. Take care.
See ya.
I got a few more minutes and then I got a boogie to watch the rest of the series.
Yeah, of course, man.
Just going to catch up with what's happening here. Just make sure that I know what's going on. And it's 2-2 tied up and we're in game 5. Good work.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Talk about good Halo this weekend, right?
Yeah, for real, man. For real.
There's so many game 5 in day 1. I remember there's so many game 5 in a cool play. It was crazy.
Yeah, it honestly, this has been such an amazing tournament.
Yeah. Really has.
Yeah, you know, outside of a few technical issues, which hopefully moving forward...
there's like, always technical issues. That's kind of the name of the game with how
complex and what deep everything is.
Yeah, we do need a...
And Windows as a whole. Just the operating system.
But like with how much more factors are present now compared to the earlier days as well, there's so many more layers.
Not like MLG where you can just pull the hard drive, swap the Xbox,
and there
you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we need some updated PCs and we need some, you know, like new gear and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But hopefully that will come sooner rather than later. And then, but even then for next season, right, we're still very much excited about what's going to come with the overall sport. Mm-hmm. You know, we have built up so much legacy over these last few years, as I was talking about before, but now we're in a position to really, you know, continue to build up this space in a manner that we hadn't really had an opportunity to in a hot minute, because, you know, we had MCC that was a bit of a weaker title for us, right, and it was like we had to really rebuild Halo Esports from the ground up since it kind of fizzled away.
Yep.
So for a 10-year program and 10-year project, I would definitely say it has been pretty awesome to see it.
It's stood the test of time and it's survived the initial just hurdles trying to get, like you were talking about, trying to rebuild after MLG and starting from the ground up.
Yeah.
With the launch of MCC and all that stuff and trying to keep people interested.
Well, I mean, when you think back to the, which H5 land was it? It was the ESL one, right, in Burbank. The balloons, you know?
Yeah.
I give the leadership a ton of credit, because after that, you can tell they saw that event play out the way that it did. They made changes. They made a lot of changes.
Yeah.
They started to work with Esports Engine. They stopped working with ESL at the time. Now they're the same company. Shout out to Monopolies, but whatever. you know, they worked with, you know, community members a little bit more. The idea was to get more, like, local, or not local, but more community-centered tournaments. Like, actually put effort into building the grassroots competitive, like, ecosystem.
Yeah.
Is it perfect? No. But
I don't start somewhere.
I would challenge you to name an esport that does that. You know? There aren't a lot. There really aren't. Not even League of Legends does it anymore.
Yeah. The nice thing about grassroots, it's not, like, it is heavily competitive-focused, but you also have people that are kind of really garnering that interest from other people that, okay, maybe you're not quite interested in competitive, but you're interested in these other kind of Halo things that are somewhat tied to competitive.
Exactly.
Like you have your streamers and content creators that really draw in those crowds, and it's like, okay, maybe there's an added interest into making Halo competitive a little bit more interesting, or it's just a gateway to get involved in the Halo community and find other people in there too.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I think a lot of us, like, if we weren't involved with the competitive scene, we definitely know grassroots people, like Ubernick or several of the other streamers that are kind of a recognizable face in the community. And being able to kind of, oh, there's a belly button, and then that just opens the doors.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that we still have new people coming in.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're a testament to that. You're a little bit more of the newer,
more on the Infinite side. Yeah.
Yep.
Was that your first or?
Yeah. No, I've actually been Halo day one, but only on the campaign side of things, really.
Okay.
I used to be more of a Call of Duty guy when it gets multiplayer. So COD 4 was like my
game
rule, my favorite one.
Black Ops 1 was my favorite one.
Black Ops 1 is my very
first. That was when I competed in the first cast. Oh, so man, it's like holds a special place for me.
So good.
I got better at Modern Warfare than I did Halo 3.
Really?
Yeah. I never went competitive or anything, but like I got to the point where I actually could throw knives pretty well and get good plays off of Warfare.
Yeah.
Like so, Halo 3, the whole like the triangle of like the vertical versus horizontal axis always threw me off. So I'm glad they changed that.
Yeah.
In MCC, because like I can finally enjoy Halo 3.
No, it always felt weird.
It was so weird.
Again, they've made so many innovations since then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Call of Duty
is another one that's freaking weird because, you know, we got that space with CDL. I don't even know what's going to happen next year with that because there's just so many question marks. Mm-hmm. You know, they can go franchise league, they can go Riot Partner League, they can go more what we're seeing here with Halo. And again, you want to talk about innovation, they did it. I got to give them credit. Because Riot literally just saw 343 system and was like, that's a good idea. And then they incorporated it. And I know that because they've talked to me about it. So,
okay.
Yeah. Like when the partnership program was announced, I mean, Riot was already doing that, but when 343 came out of the gate first, that certainly kind of perked up everyone's ears because they're like, wait a minute, we don't have to get you to give us $20 million so you can participate in this competition? Mm-hmm. Oh, that, yeah. That's a possibility.
Give us free advertisement? Sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that is the reason why, like, you know, I do think the world of Tashi, and I will follow that man till, you know, till the pits of doom, because he gets it. He's a student of esports. He's been around for a really long time. You know, Dota has always been his bread and butter, so he looks at esports like that. And I think when you see how he approaches the building of the HCS, and then when you understand that Dota and esports like that and Counter-Strike are some of his favorite esports, a lot of the structure of the HCS makes a lot of sense. You know, and I do genuinely believe that what we have right now is good. I want to improve it more so. Like, I think for our world championship, we shouldn't be doing pool play. I think we should be doing GSL-style brackets, which, in case you don't know what that is rather than pools, you have your pools, but instead they're brackets. You win two, you're in. You lose two, you're out, okay. Right? And the team that goes in from the bottom...
Did MLG do that?
No.
Something similar to that.
No. Well, MLG... did it
for Halo.
Or no, they did it for Call of Duty once at an invitational, and they did it for StarCraft.
Okay.
Because that's how StarCraft was played. It was only GSL brackets.
Okay.
And I think GSL brackets is like a way more competitive format than the pool play, but thankfully we've had such incredible matches. And when you have the parity, right, between these teams where they are right now, it's okay. You know, but I would really like to see GSL style brackets because I feel like you get some. Every game is intense. Every game has value, and every game matters in a GSL bracket. So that's why it's intense.
I see. Okay.
Because, like, think about it, right? Your first game, you win, or you play it, you win. That means you're one game away from making it out of groups. Mm-hmm. So that's huge, right? You lose that game, and if you lose again, you're out of the tournament. So now you're in this lower bracket of the GSL style group. And now you got to fight against the other team that just got sent down. So now both of you are fighting for your tournament lives.
So now they're, the tension.
Yep. And if you want to do top three advance forward, that matchup in the early parts where we're talking our elimination matches, that match has a ton of value because the two teams that are going to be playing there, one of those is going to get eliminated, one of them is going to move forward. And if you're going to do the same thing that we did here where the top three teams of each group advance to championship bracket mm-hmm. through lower bracket and through upper bracket, then all you need to do is you literally do the same exact format. The team that wins the second, or rather the last game to figure out the last two teams out of groups, that third team that loses, they just go into the loser bracket, mm-hmm. right? Like, either there are a variety of ways you can do it if you want to approach it that way.
For sure.
I just want us to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's all. And not have bandits.
The BR does sound a lot better, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like, even the sound effects, like, the bandits, it's ringing in my ears, and, like, the BR, the burst.
Yeah. 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 People see battle rifles, they know instantly that it's Halo.
Yes.
And that's I think we should lean into that rather than go away from it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, pros wanted H5 vibes. Mm-hmm. They got it.
They got it, yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens next season, though.
Yeah.
Either way, I'll be there no matter what.
Yeah. And so will we.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I know you got to go.
Yeah, let me boogie. Yep. Let me boogie. Let you guys.
Thank you for dropping by.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. The time, man.
It was an absolute pleasure. Sorry if I yapped too much.
Absolutely not.
It's my pleasure. Brain can't help it.
We'll see you for the
like I said, you're talented for it.
Yes, I'll be there for the elimination finals. And well, time to see what the hell happens with FaZe and Pure, because I'm casting one of those teams. So, all right, boys.
That's going to be a good matchup.
Catch you later. Have a good one. Take care.
Thanks, Golden Boy.
Yeah, so I guess kind of to wrap things up, mm-hmm. what do you guys want to see from, like, I know you're not in the competitive scene as much, Bobby, but in this kind of your first time out here, I kind of dragged you out here a little bit, but...
Yeah, like, I made the commitment on my own, and then you just were like, yes.
The corruption is spreading. He has shared the brain cell for long enough.
Yeah. I mean, like, an event like this, it's definitely going to last, but, like, things to change or things to improve on going forward for, I mean, well, I mean, this is your worlds for both of you guys.
But. Yeah, that's the thing. It's, like, the first one, coming from Fort Worth, I was curious because I was like, you know what, like, worldwide, I'm curious how much more, like, grandiose it is compared to Fort Worth. Compared to like just a major, I guess.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more going on. What surprised me in sort of like a good way is that despite it having a lot more happening, I still felt like I was able to get to where I needed to go fairly easy. Like it's the way it works. It's like, I don't feel like I have to walk too long to get to like the community stage or the main stage. Like they're literally right across from each other in the middle, like easy to navigate. I mean, why not have like more pop-up stations, more booths? I saw SLC, for example. I didn't contend that one, but I saw that they had a bunch of cool stuff like arcade cabinets, pickleball, like include some more stuff like that would be awesome if the venue could accommodate for that type of thing. Could be a lot of fun for the spectators. More for spectators, I guess, to do as opposed to just spectating. Spectating is a big portion of it. Obviously, we want to check out the games and everything, but if there is even more activities that spectators can get involved in, why not?
Yeah.
And I guess from a competitive perspective, in terms of like what to see on the stage or the game itself, I know, you know, Golden Boy was talking about VRs and whatnot, and VR is, like, in my opinion, more iconic, and I feel like it's one of those things where you don't know what you have until it's gone type thing, and, you know, everyone was like, oh, you know, VR is easy to use and all that jazz, and I really do enjoy the Bandit as well. And what's sad for me is seeing these GAs with the shoddies and the ARs and all that jazz, because I'm also a big proponent of using the sandbox.
Yep.
And I would love to see, like, some of that expanded to see, like, maybe Ravagers all of a sudden make their way to...
A new meta.
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably going to get GA.
Bulldog.
GA real quick, though. But anyways.
You don't know until you try it, though.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Give it a whirl, you know?
I
think one thing that maybe you had mentioned, I can't remember who had mentioned it, but the whole... Perhaps, I think it was maybe Golden Boy, the individual panel with, you know, pros and 343, that could be a very good step to just understand what the pros want and maybe have just that different sandbox for rank, like just make it happen, you know, and then that way everyone's happy, everyone's using different weapons as opposed to the same grinding Bandit sound that you can hear, you know.
To be fair, it does have a nice, like, obviously the BR thump is iconic, but the Bandit does have a nice deep thump.
It is satisfying, and I think the big concern that you hear pros and everyone else talk about a lot of times is the fact that, you know, Bandit single shot, you have to be accurate, but you get full damage, and when you, like, team fire that, it's very oppressive.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I feel with the BR, you have to hit your burst, right? And yes, it did have the longer zoom, but you were able to sort of, if you have to sprint from, I don't know, trippy box on recharge to the stairs, then you can make it in a BR gunfight and take that damage and still make it through. Whereas, like, if you're getting team shot with a Bandit, most of the time, you're actually dying for that, despite having the, like, lower zoom magnification on recharge, for example.
Yeah,
I would love to see, personally, and I don't know if that would ever happen, but I would love to see some maps have Bandit starts, some maps have VR starts. Why not?
That would be interesting.
Or some modes.
Yeah.
Maybe perhaps.
Map, another map, yeah.
Yeah. And then that way, like, for example, Forbidden, which in my opinion should be a VR map, have VR starts on Forbidden as opposed to Bandit starts. Or something of that nature, but I don't know if we'll ever see that. It seems like there's always, like, going to be one main starting weapon, but from an event perspective, I've really enjoyed it. You know, I don't know how it compares to previous years or any of that jazz, but there's definitely lots to see, lots of people to meet. That's been the best part of the event, personally, is just getting a chance to meet all of you and, like, saying hi to everyone and being like, oh my god, I know you from so-and-so, I've seen you online, oh, here you are. And most people, I would say, like, 99% of them have been the same as they are online, like, which I think speaks to the community itself, too. Like, the Halo community really is, like you mentioned, one of a kind. And I mentioned earlier, like, my first Halo was in 2001, you know, November launch day campaigns, and I've always been a campaign guy. The first multiplayer that I really did play a bit of was Reach, and then a bit of MCC afterwards. But Infinite truly is, like, the Halo game that I've played the most on the multiplayer side of things. And I really do feel like it's brought a good balance from old titles to new titles and mechanics and how they work together. It feels like a modern Halo game, you know? And if you do want to play that classical experience that was mentioned earlier, well, MCC is still there and it's still viable. And if you want to hop on, then play MCC. But I understand that, you know, not everyone's going to be happy. Some people want that classic Halo experience still.
Yeah.
And there are modes you could do it in customs or whatnot. Maybe down the line, who knows, maybe there could be like a real throwback playlist that's not just the H3 map, for example. It could be H3 maps plus the classic movement as its own separate playlist and see, you know, how many people navigate towards that, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just a lot of ideas. There's plenty of potential.
I think one of the challenges with Worlds is because it's mostly driven by 343 as an org versus the ones this year were org driven sponsors, so they had the option to really customize the feel for the fans that are coming and add all those experiences. And I was talking to someone, it may have been Price Joker or someone, but like just the convention space itself is expensive. So for getting a booth space, it's like,
I imagine.
So it's like, I hope 343 takes a little bit of initiative for oncoming years, because I feel like compared to the first year, and if memory serves me right, it feels like the space is a little bit more empty this year than it was the first year.
Gotcha.
And I missed last year, so I don't know what the feeling was like or how much it was. I do appreciate how Community Stage was a little bit more of a spotlight this year.
Yes.
And you had more orgs. I think the first year it was just SSG. There was one other vendor booth, and then there were a couple other little things. There was the troll worms. There's some other forging type little stations. So there are a lot more of the sponsors that were there versus just the orgs that are here. And I think the only other sponsor was Oats Overnight, which was a sponsor
of SSG.
But there's no other sponsors. So if you don't have those booths, it's like, okay, well, this feels a little more empty. I mean, granted, I like having more space to not be crowded with people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, it didn't really feel like there was a little bit more to look at. Other than like, okay, you go by your booths, and then there's the community stage, and then for people that wanted to comp, there's the five different side tournaments, and then there's the main stage. But yeah, felt a lot more emptier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that it's a bad event, but...
No, I definitely noticed that, like, especially towards like the other section there on the right, the mine stage, it just feels like there's a lot of room there that you can probably populate for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I hope they built that out more and actually bring more in to do. And it would be, I mean, it'd be nice for them to bring some outpost type stuff in. Like the I know they don't do Boomco anymore, but then they're partnered with Nerf. So have a Nerf firing range or something. Some other experiences for people to just be like, here's a little Halo fun thing to do.
Yeah. I think from an esport too, just I guess my final note, it would be that Halo Infinite is very readable, I would say, compared to some other esports. It's kind of easy to follow the action, and kudos to any, you know, I know Nighty, particularly on the LVT side of things, has a lot of good stuff with the spectator cam, and somehow manages to catch the best of the best, which is an incredible feat considering all the action that's all going on. But I do feel like Halo Infinite is very readable. I played a lot of Rocket League back in 2016, 2021, I would say.
Okay.
And Rocket League is very accessible, too, because everyone knows it's soccer with cars, for example.
Right, right.
Halo Infinite, maybe a little bit more complex than something like Rocket League, but I do it from an objective perspective, and what you're seeing on the map, what the engagements that you're seeing, it's very readable, and I think allows it to be accessible to a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Very good. Bobby, what about you? What do you think? Not so much the competitive side, but just as a event as a whole, would you?
Oh yeah. So especially like as Golden Boy was kind of alluding to with like how there is the focus on the competitive, but the fact that it's like starting to like branch out and be a lot more like Outpost and have a bit of those other experiences, like how the organizations are like doing these little things, like how Space Station had their little pickleball thing. FaZe is like, oh, hey, took a photo with the old trophy. Like they're making unique experiences. I was like, okay. And I'm just like, yeah, that to me just seems inspired by Outpost just because of my outside perspective of it all. And I had like five other talking points I was going to like try to squeak in at some point, but then just my brain just keeps going, you know what? No. Yes. No.
Yeah.
But it just keeps like shut down so often. But like in terms of how it can connect to like the other audiences and such, like having like the free play area be like maybe like one of the days the free play becomes like a small like impromptu BTP match for a couple of things of merch or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Or any other playlist for that matter. Yeah, it'd be sick if it was like some kind of mini competition of sorts that takes place at
that isn't just like the HCS level grade stuff.
Yeah.
It's actually like a different aspect and all these different things. Just like how the cosplay, like how many people were in such high quality cosplay this year.
I was really impressed.
And like also like just seeing that type of stuff in person, it's like, wow, they really do make it look so good. The camera doesn't do it justice, even though they look so good on camera.
It is impressive.
Yeah.
So many.
Well, thank you guys for being here. I want a huge shout out to the Jumperscape folks and Golden Boy for dropping in and giving us nearly an hour of my attention. So that was awesome. Really awesome. Cool to see some people in the chat. We'll be back again next year for year 4 of Infinite Worlds. So, yeah. Happy to have you all here sticking around, and we'll get you all on our next podcast, which we'll actually have Jumperscape on Thursday next week. So for those that are watching, thank you very much. For those that are listening, this is our Worlds coverage. Not really coverage, but our Worlds little thingy. Thanks for listening.
The Worlds powwow.
Thank you for listening to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You can find our podcast on your favorite podcasting service and listen to us live every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitch. Check out our website, podtacular.com, and join the community on Discord at podtacular.com/discord. If you want to play Halo with us, come join us for Fraggin' Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Become a supporter of the show by sharing the show with your friends and family, or help keep the lights on by subscribing to us on Twitch, donating via PayPal, or becoming a patron alongside Confal, Pens Halo, and Prestige Ace. Until next time, keep on fragging trucks.